really proud of our guys, proud of our coaches, and proud of our players. That's what chopping is about. You know, to go down 14-0 and have things start the way they did, they just stayed in the process of chop.
An absolutely gorgeous late October day in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Believed and did it. We're able to overcome some pretty substantial early adversity and find a way to win the game. So. That was really special today for me.
And the throw, and it's intercepted and picked off. It's a pitcher. Rutgers has won it at homecoming weekend.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Chop Weekly off of Scarlet Knights' victory this past week over the Indiana Hoosiers. Hello, everybody. Chris Carlin alongside Rutgers Hall of Famer Eric LeGrand. In just moments, we'll hear from head coach Greg Schiano in his weekly news conference. E, awfully good to be here off a win as Rutgers got that victory the other day over Indiana. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. It's just like you said, it's always great to be here after a W. Got the juices still flowing from Saturday.
Well, Rutgers comes away with the victory 24-17 over Indiana. And Eric, let's talk a little bit about this. It was one of those games where you just heard Coach Schiano talk about the aspect of chop, and I don't know that you can ever have a game that more epitomizes that than what we saw the other day when Rutgers fell behind 14-0, opening kickoff return for a touchdown, but they kept at it and kept at it. Their defense found their legs a little bit against a great speed running offense from Indiana and really played an outstanding game the rest of the way.
Absolutely, and as we know, that Indiana team, they run the most plays in a game in college football, and they try to snap that ball within 18 seconds every time, and it's hard to adjust to that during the week when you're going up against a scout team, getting a scout team look. So when you – those first two possessions, it's kind of an adjustment for the defense to see, it. Wow, this is actually really how fast they go and then how efficient they are. But you saw that they settled in and were able to handle business pretty much through – three quarters of that game, which was great to see. The opening kickoff going back for the touchdown, obviously you never want that, but you got to give credit to that Rutgers team, especially on the offensive side. New offensive coordinator with Nunzio Campanelli stepping in there and literally changed pretty much everything that they were doing with shuffling the quarterbacks, the running back positions, and even formations, lining up in a big Ten style, right, their old school style, I formation and pounding the ball, which was pretty amazing to see.
Yeah, a couple of one back, two tight end sets, something that we haven't seen, and Noah Vedral under center quite a bit. Talk about the offense in a second, but Eric, the defense for Rutgers, just outstanding. It is now seventh in the country in total defense, under 300 yards per game. And just to that point, we talked about the speed. 143 yards of the offense that Indiana had the other day was in the first quarter, and then the rest of the way, they limited him to 142 yards. So that's pretty darn impressive.
It was definitely impressive. And you can see how the defense, after they settled in, they started to play press coverage because Indiana, the first two series, was finding a lot of success in the screen game, not down the field passing, but those screens that were really catching the Scarlet Knights off guard. So they switched up and adjusted to the defense. And from there, Indiana could not do anything. They were pounding the quarterback. Disrupted. The defensive backs were playing very well. You have to give credit to that defense because in the beginning, it looked like it could be a long day, but they made their adjustments. They started following their reads, and they went out there and they played Rutgers football, as we know them to be, a dominant defense.
On the offensive side, Sam Brown, the freshman, 28 carries, 101 yards. Coach Schiano alluded to him getting a little bit banged up after the game the other day, but Rutgers, in shifting their philosophy a little bit offensively, Eric, what did you see in terms of their comfort level when you're doing that on the fly midseason?
Yeah, it seemed actually pretty comfortable. And you think about that, it's like, okay, we evaluate the players that we have and let's play to our strengths. We didn't see a lot of the under center for Noah Vedral or any of the Rutgers quarterbacks earlier in the year, but they said, you know, we have a big back in Sam Brown who can make things happen when a ball is in his hands. Let's find a way to be able to pound down Indiana's throw. Obviously, they found something in that front seven where they trusted that their guys can be better than their guys and be able to push that line of scrimmage back. So they went to it and they leaned on it, getting Johnny Langan more involved in the passing game. As we know, Coach Nunzio was the tight ends coach. So now he's getting Johnny Langan in those little stick route, 5-yard out plays. And it was successful. I believe he picked up three first downs on those routes And they took a few shots down the field, but they played mostly to their strengths. They relied on that running game heavily. And how about that? Sam Brown, 28 carries. Carrying their load is more is an understatement for what he did on Saturday.
First time a Rutgers back has had 25 or more carries in a game in 8 years, since 2014. Paul James did that. And now Rutgers moves forward at 4-3 on the season. They get their first Big Ten win of the year, and they get the Minnesota Golden Gophers this week, who started 4-0 to the year, but they have dropped three in a row. They've had some injuries to contend with, and that game is on the road this week. We're going to hear from Coach Schiano in just a minute and get his thoughts on previewing the matchup with the Golden Gophers. PJ Fleck is, of course, their head coach. He is a former Scarlet Knight assistant coach under Coach Schiano, not just with Rutgers, but also when he was spent a little time with him down in Tampa Bay as well, before he went on to become the head coach at Western Michigan and now at Minnesota, where he's done a nice job. There are a couple of other former Rutgers assistants on that staff as well, including defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, who is there for Minnesota. Now, one other thing we want to make you apprised of is just moments ago, it was announced that the Rutgers' next home game against Michigan, which is Saturday, November the 5th, will be a 7:30 p.m. game. So that will be in prime time under the lights. You've been in that situation a couple of times already this year, Eric, and we've seen the crowd bring an awful lot of energy. And, man, it's safe to say you're going to need that kind of energy against a team like Michigan less than 2 weeks away on that Saturday night, November 5th.
Absolutely. Michigan is playing very well right now. They've been doing very well in the running game, but that atmosphere needs to be on fire on November 5th at 7:30 p.m. Like you said, we have seen it before. We know how special SHI Stadium can be when the fans are involved, and I know Rutgers will be ready for that game. Obviously, you don't want to overlook the Minnesota game, but when the Scarlet Knights fans get to come back to SHI Stadium, it needs to be loud. It needs to be rocking, get in there early, enjoy themselves, and have a party. It's pretty much, that's what you want. You want a party in that stadium. So it will be a lot of fun, and I can't wait for it.
I'll tell you what, for the other day, it got pretty good, too. Let's go to the coach now and hear from Coach Schiano in his weekly news conference.
Yeah, man.
I've got cancer, but I've also got the state's leading cancer program on my side.
If you or a loved one has cancer, you need New Jersey's only comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute, recently named a high-performing hospital by U.S. News & World Report.
I've got cancer, but I've also got hope.
Learn more at rwjbh.org/beatcancer. RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. Let's beat cancer together.
Building a winning team starts with recruiting talented players and giving them a chance to succeed. For more than 30 years, SHI International has thrived by hiring and training employees to deliver custom IT solutions to customers around the world. You could be next. Find out why over 400 Rutgers University graduates are now building an IT career at SHI. Visit SHI.com/careers and explore the career opportunities available to you. That's SHI.com/careers. SHI, innovative solutions, world-class support.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Try to help you whatever way I can. Obviously, a big game going on the road to Minnesota. We got a lot of work to do before we're ready to go play that game. So I think everybody knows that, and everybody's locked in on doing it. So it'll be how we prepare this week that'll be the difference. Questions?
What did you just think of the offensive changes you guys made and your overall assessment of the quarterback play last week?
Well, look, I thought that we prepared very hard over the 2 weeks. Certainly you can't, you know, flip things upside down in 2 weeks' time. So I think what we'll do is continue to grow. The quarterback position, you know, it's not like we discovered something. We finally had our quarterbacks all able to play on the same day. The way it played out, we didn't know exactly how it was going to go. I mean, for that game, Noah was the starter. Gavin was the backup, and Evan was the next guy in. Each game is going to be different depending on our preparation, on our opponent, our matchup, and until we figure out exactly how we want to go. Now you say, well, it's, you know, you're on your eighth game. As I told you at the beginning of the year, if it works itself out, that's great. And if it doesn't, we have to keep tweaking it until we figure it out. So we're working on it. But again, last week was the first time we had all three guys. So it's really the first week that it was normal, so to speak.
PJ worked on your staff here and in Tampa. Just talk about your relationship and what it's going to be like coaching against him.
Yeah, not just PJ, most of the staff. You know, Kirk Shiraka's over there. Joe Rossi's over there. You know, there's so many guys that have Rutgers connections that are on PJ's staff. And I love that. I'm proud, really, really proud of the job PJ's done. You mentioned he was here at Rutgers with us, and then he was at Tampa as well, and has done a, you know, always did a great job. I knew, heck, probably a day into his time here, that he was going to be a head coach. And I could tell you countless stories of what a big difference he made in our program, both here and at Tampa. So he's an excellent coach, and all the success he has had, he deserves, because he works incredibly hard. He's incredibly driven, yet I think is a man that has a big heart and understands people. So, yeah, I can't be more proud of him. But now we have to compete, right? So it's, you know, it's kind of like the first week of the season when we went and played Jeff at Boston College, and so many of those coaches had Rutgers ties. But I'm proud of all those guys. But when it's time to compete, it's time to compete. And I know he'll be the same. And then after the game, we'll hug it out and keep moving forward and help each other, because he does. He helps me. And I try to help him whenever we can. But obviously not the week we're playing him.
What do you see in that team, especially with their running back, Ibrahim, and the challenge that he can present?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kirk Shiraka does a great job with that offense. And, he, you know, he was there when they built it up, and then he left, but he's back now. And I think Kirk knows exactly how to use back like that and how to tie it into the RPO game. I mean, everything is very, very well coordinated. So it'll be a big challenge. The back, you know, he's really special. He can stick a foot in the ground and change direction as good as anybody in the country. And he's strong. So tackling this guy is going to be a challenge for sure.
Any update on Sam, how his lower extremities, as you put it, is? And Kess didn't play. What's his status?
Okay. Start with Sam. You know, Sam has a couple more things to do with the doctors, but I think we're going to be okay there. Kess had an issue. He did some stuff last night, so we'll see. I think it'll be kind of a play it by ear as we go through the week with Kess. But yeah, I'm, you know, leave all that stuff up to the doctors, but I'm encouraged.
We talked before the season about how with the offensive line, it was going to have to be a steady climb throughout the season. Are you kind of seeing the improvements at this point that you hope to see?
Yeah, we're getting better. You know, as I've said all along, I think there's been a steady progress, but not where we need to be. I mean, we were so far away that, progress is good, but we just got to keep getting better. And that really is the whole team. You know, when I sat here 2 weeks ago after the Nebraska game, was I told him, we just need to get better, guys. You know, you got to put all the noise out of your mind and just focus on getting better. And we got a little bit better, and it was good enough to win Saturday. Now we have to get better, and we have some practice days to do it and some meetings, and how we meet, how we practice, how we watch film, that's going to determine how much better we get. That's all we can control. Will that be good enough, you know, to go out and win the game at Minnesota? That's why you play the game. We'll figure that out. But it goes for our whole program.
Are there any players you're looking at stepping up to stop the run? You know, a guy like Christian Izian, or anybody specifically going to be doing anything different this week to, you know, compensate for how good Minnesota is running the ball?
Well, if there was, I couldn't tell you right now, because I'd be looking at the camera telling Minnesota. But look, we have to do some things. Obviously, they're very good at running the football, and he's very good. But I think it's going to take 11 guys. I think it's going to take great swarm, you know, great eye discipline, and really, really fine tackling to be able to do it. Happens.
Christian Broswell has obviously been through a lot since he joined the program. What's it been like to see him be this productive and have this much of an impact on the defense this year?
It's really great, to tell you the truth, because you hit it on the head. He has had such bad luck, whatever you want to call it. My heart was, you know, going out to him because he worked so hard to recover from the knee surgery, and then some other things got him. And I was just like, this guy, he's really got the short end of the stick. But as of late, he's really been productive. He's playing at a high level. And certainly, you know, that interception for the touchdown was a deciding play in the game. So couldn't be more happy. And he's a great kid, too. He's not a kid, a great young man, great person, like a lot of our guys. But, you know, I've been very, very pleased to have him in our program.
Sean Ryan had a few big catches. Is that what you saw out of him when you got him from the portal? And is that what you kind of expected from him?
It is. I think that he's a bigger guy. You know, we don't really have very many of those guys. So, you know, when you're talking about competing for a 50-50 ball, you know, well, why has it got to be 50-50, right? If you give him a chance, the receiver clearly has the advantage. And he's got really strong hands. He's got a good frame, and he can go up and get the football. And he also has good hands when he's running routes inward, breaking routes, which, you know, you're going to get hit on. So I think he has a chance to really – I think he's got a feel for what we're doing. I think we've learned what he's best at. So I think he's got a chance to do this here in the back half of the season.
Defensively, you guys rank in the top 10 in a lot of categories, but, I mean, a majority of that side of the ball has multiple years of eligibility remaining, a lot of underclassmen. How much room of growth do you see in that unit? How much better can they get?
Oh, I think we can continue to get a lot better. Yeah, and I think depth we can strengthen our depth as we get better. So, you know, every Sunday night we're out there with the younger players just working on technique and then going and playing the game of football because that's the way you get better at playing. And really it's guys who don't play on Saturday. So, I mean, Gavin was out there, did a tremendous job. And, you know, I've talked to you guys about Gavin after the game. He was really a lot better from one Thursday to the next. And now the challenge is, can we do that again? And last night he did an excellent job. So I'm excited about his growth, you know, and that's the whole football team. And when we talk about the defense, you know, there's some older guys up there, you know, the AZs and the Christian Izians and the Fetties, but then there's a whole bunch of young players that are making plays. So I'm right there with you. We just need to keep getting better. I know it sounds so cliche, but you're either getting better or you're getting worse. That's the fact. You know, nobody stays the same. So we have to keep pushing each other to get better.
What would you say? Obviously, defensive coordinator Joe Harris-Simiak's going back to his former school as well. What's your assessment about the job he's done to this point?
Joe's done an excellent job. Joe's an excellent football coach. He's a really fine communicator and connector with the players. I could say that for the whole defensive staff, though. I really have been impressed the way that they have come together, the way that they've connected with our guys, the level of detail that they've coached with. Yeah, I'm very pleased, very, very pleased with the way those guys work together and the way that they've bonded with the players. And, you know, I just look forward to see that continue to grow because a lot of those players are young guys.
I know you emphasize special teams a lot. What's it been like coaching without an actual coordinator as one of the 10 assistants?
You know, we all kind of pitch in. I kind of try to head it off because I don't want to distract from anybody else's job in the offense or the defense. We have some support staff that help us, you know, with different technical things, breakdowns and stuff. Certainly after a day like Saturday where you give up a touchdown return and then you have one called back, you know, it's not very fun. Special teams has always been a big part of what we do here, and we've been fortunate to do it well. Saturday was not our finest effort. So certainly we have a chip on our shoulder as a special teams unit that we need to play better for sure, because that isn't even close to being good enough. Thanks, guys.
I've got cancer, but I've also got the state's leading cancer program on my side.
If you or a loved one has cancer, you need New Jersey's only comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute, recently named a high-performing hospital by U.S. News & World Report.
I've got cancer, but I've also got hope.
Learn more at rwjbh.org/beatcancer. RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. Let's beat cancer together.
Managing an IT environment is a lot like being a landlord. An endless list of projects to complete for some demanding tenants. That's where SHI comes in. From modernizing your data center to securing a hybrid workforce, SHI can make optimizing and protecting your technology assets as easy as changing a light bulb. To learn how SHI helps IT organizations select, deploy, and manage the technology that powers their home away from home, visit SHI.com. That's SHI.com. SHI, innovative solutions, world-class support.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
All right, head coach Greg Schiano, as Rutgers prepares for Minnesota on the road this week up in Minneapolis. And Eric, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, you know, you could still continue to tell the impression that Saturday really made on the coach to get a win like that in some adverse circumstances. But not only that, some of the individual efforts that we saw to really help get them over the hump. One guy that you and I didn't even talk about is Sean Ryan. The catches that Sean Ryan made in that game, frankly, three on one drive, were just absolutely outstanding. And you can see the kind of dynamic that he brings to the offense when you can put a ball in the air and give him an opportunity to go get it.
Yeah, his toe tapping skills is very, very good. And the way that he's made those plays, he took that drive over. Three big plays on that drive, on those toe catches on along the sideline, and then in the back of the end zone and still holding on to the ball while getting hit. Like Coach said, he's a bigger guy. They're starting to figure out what he's good at, what he can do. And you try to find ways to get him the ball, get him isolated one-on-one with those wide receivers. But I mean, on those DBs, when they're playing man-to-man coverage, and let him go out there and do his thing. And as we mentioned, Coach Yano's energy when he first came in there, it feels good after a win, especially when you can learn, especially when he's talking about special teams not being where they wanted to be, but being able to coach that after a win. It's been tough when you lose three games in a row, Chris. I was a part of that 2018 when we lost five games in a row. When we opened up 1-5, wow, it was rough times around the office. But when you get a win, all the hard work that goes into it, you get to enjoy it. It just brings a just much better attitude, and you can see Coach has it on him.
You know, and think about that. And you know, it's one of those seasons where it felt like at the time, with the level of effort that was being put into it, you just needed one thing to go your way. And against the UConn that season, they missed a field goal at the end of the game that hit the upright. And what do you know, you rattle off seven in a row and you put up 54 the next week. So it's all about confidence and sticking with the program, right? Because, I mean, that's one of those games the other day that can just really help illustrate that point in a much bigger sense for a program.
Absolutely, because you faced adverse moments in that game. The very beginning of the game, that first quarter, was adverse moments where things weren't going well for you, but you stuck to the game plans, trusted your coaches, and you went out there and executed for the rest of the game. And being able to score on offense and on defense, and they had an offense touchdown on special teams that unfortunately got called back. But if you get this score in all three phases of the game, I mean, coaches can't ask for anything better than that. So you're excited for those guys, and you know that you can really build off of a win like that and being able to lead into your, you know, the latter part of the season.
You know, we did see some explosion the other day from Aaron Cruikshank on a couple of different plays, let alone on that punt return that was called back. Now, with Minnesota, this is an interesting challenge. Mohamed Ibrahim is their running back, and if you don't know the name, you probably should, because he's got 15 consecutive 100-yard games coming into this game this coming Saturday. He just barely eclipsed it this past week against Penn State, went 30 carries for just 102 yards. But, Eric, they're going to have their hands full with Muhammad.
That boy is a problem, Chris. He is a very good running back, and Coach Shirokin knows it. And they rely on him a lot in that offense. You know, they're playing with their backup quarterback last week versus Penn State. So, you know, we know we'll see the status of Tanner Morgan, but they rely a lot on Ibrahim, and he's been their go-to guy. He's coming off of a torn Achilles and being able to fight back from that injury, and that you know Minnesota has some gigantic offensive linemen. So he tries to find his way behind him, and as soon as he sees a hole, he hits it hard. So I'm excited to actually see. I've been looking forward to this matchup because I know how Rutgers does very well, you know, in the rush defense and their defense in general. So this should be a great matchup, some hard-hitting football. Let's see which side and who was one on in line of scrimmage wins the game.
Rutgers this season giving up just 90 yards rushing per game this year. And it has been, in particular, I think, Eric, any holes that have been there have been shut down pretty quickly for the most part. There have been a couple of big plays here and there. But what do you attribute Rutgers' success on defense in terms of stopping the run so far this year?
Obviously, it's the defensive line playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage getting the knockbacks. But I have to give credit to that linebacker position, which coming into the year, we all thought it was going to be a concerning play. But Tyree Powell and Deion Jennings are fitting in perfectly, and they're using their size and their quickness to be able to fill those holes early. When they do may pop up for a second, they're getting in there and they're run fits. And obviously another guy that coach mentioned who's a veteran, Christian Izian, when he comes up on certain plays in a run game, he's like a bullet is shot out, and he comes up, sets the edge, takes out the legs, and looks like it could be a 10-yard gain, and he limits it to a 2-yard gain because he notices that he has a lot of experience back there. His fit in the run game, I think, is kind of underrated, and people don't talk about it as much as they should, but he's a special player.
Meanwhile, Minnesota is Rutgers currently, just to be specific, 87 yards per game rushing allowed and sixth in the country in that category. Minnesota, they were without Tanner Morgan, their quarterback, the other night, who was out with a head injury. He was on the sideline at Penn State, but he had a streak as well of consecutive starts. And Ethan Kaliakmanis made his start in his place. Now, we don't know if Morgan's going to be back this week or not, but that's something to keep an eye on this week for Minnesota. Eric, more than anything else, though, getting back on the road, and it has been one of those things that under Greg Schiano over the last few years, Rutgers has been particularly strong at. They, I believe, are 8-5 since 2020 on the road under Coach Schiano. When you are going on the road, what gives you that opportunity to be that successful in those kind of circumstances?
The way Coach Schiano has always been, I remember being in those hotels, where it's always kind of like it's us against the world type of mentality. And it gets the guys fired up for it. And as a football player, you kind of like embrace that almost in a way where you're like, it is us against the world then. And everyone is going to be against us. It's our job to go in there, do our job, quiet that crowd, let everyone, all that noise that he always talks about, the distractions, put that all aside and focus on your job. And you know, when you go on the road, there's so many distractions. Obviously, you're in unfamiliar places, places that you're not used to being, and you got everyone screaming, you got everyone yelling at you. Then you go out there, and you have to execute your game plan. And it's not easy, but Coach Schiano is always harping on that in skills for in football and skills for life. So I believe that's why they find to, you know, to have so much success on the road. And they'll have another opportunity this Saturday, and I can't wait to see them go out there and start chopping.
Well, in case you haven't heard, it will be 2 weeks from tonight that Rutgers returns home, and it is a rather 2 weeks from this past Saturday night that Rutgers returns home, and they will face Michigan. It is a 7:30 p.m. game. It was just announced early Monday afternoon, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 5th, for Rutgers' next home game against Michigan. Should be an electric atmosphere at SHI Stadium, but more importantly, this coming week, a 2:30 kick on Big Ten Network and, of course, on the Rutgers Sports Network from Learfield. We're looking forward to it this coming weekend as the Scarlet Knights visit Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers. Both teams at 4-3 on the year. Rutgers coming off their victory. Minnesota has dropped 3 in a row. E, we'll talk to you on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
And so am I, Chris. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Want you all to enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks so much for joining us on Chop Weekly. Again, it's Rutgers and Minnesota Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Big Ten Network and on the Rutgers Sports Network on the radio. We'll see you then.